I hope you're here today, friends, and can honestly and truthfully say it is well with your soul because of Jesus Christ. You see, the only way we can truly have peace in our soul is through the Prince of Peace, that's Jesus. And so I hope you're here today and can honestly say it is well with my soul. Let's pray before we go any further. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful day. Thank you because of your grace and Jesus Christ, your Son. When we put our faith and trust completely in Him, we can say it is well in spite of what life throws at us. It is well with my soul. Thank you, Father, for providing us the peace that comes through faith in your Son. Thank you for providing us your Spirit who comforts us. Jesus said, I send you the Comforter. And we can say it is well. Thank you. Father, I just want to thank you for the beauty of this day. I want to thank you for the beautiful weather. It enables farmers to continue to get out their crops. I want to thank you for watching over places where they were ravaged by hurricanes. And I want to ask you to pray. We want to pray you'd continue to be with them. I want to thank you, Father, for being with those in the funerals we did this week and the weddings we did this week. In all of that, may you be glorified. I want to thank you for watching those on our prayer focus. And I want to pray that you'd continue to be with them. I want to pray, Father, for the salvation of our nation. I want to pray, Heavenly Father, this morning for the revival of the church, that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and be passionate, passionate to follow Christ. I just thank you for your word this morning, Father. Speak to us, Holy Spirit of God, as we have come to worship you, our Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I know when we come to church, sometimes we come with heavy hearts, broken bodies, loneliness, and despair. But I pray, Heavenly Father, that in spite of all of this, you would minister to us exactly what we need by your good grace. And I do pray for the other churches in our town, in our region, in our state, in America, and around the globe. Father, may the name of Jesus be lifted up in churches everywhere. And may you, our Father in heaven, you who sit on the throne, may you be glorified in all we say and do. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to mention a couple of more things to you before I turn to Scripture and we talk about what we're going to talk about this morning. First, I haven't reminded us for quite a while, but we have two different prayer groups throughout the week. One is at noon on Wednesday. That's ladies that gather here and they simply pray. And the second time is on Saturday evening at 6 p.m. There's a group of us that gather to pray. I just make that available to you in case you didn't know, and to let you know once again, you're invited to be part of those times of prayer. We do nothing but pray. We call upon the name of the Lord. Let me say this about prayer, friends. If you don't have a regular prayer life, let me encourage you, talk to God often. He wants to hear from you. Prayer is good for us. Prayer, to me, is a lifeline to God. It is the lifeblood of the church. So I just mentioned that two prayer groups during the week in case you want to join us sometime. Let me also say that just a couple nights ago, right out here in our churchyard, we had a bunch of teenagers that spent the night in a cardboard box. Now, why would they do that, you might ask? Well, in Brainerd, we have this organization called New Pathways, and they literally take the homeless off the streets, and they give them some education and help them find a job and help them to balance their checkbook and help them to find a place to live and feed them and so on. And so that takes money. And so what our teenagers are simply doing is raising awareness for the homeless situation right here in our communities. Believe it or not, there are people that are homeless right here. And so they're raising awareness for that, and they are raising funds for the New Pathways organization in Brainerd. And so we had a bunch of teenagers out here the other night when the wind was howling, and it was pretty chilly, but they spent the night in a cardboard box, and they raised $2,000 for New Pathways. I just want to say thank you to you that were with them, the teenagers, the staff. It was a cold night, it was a windy night, and they spent the night outside. Thank you for doing that. The last thing I want to mention to you, we never know going into the new year of Kids Club who might come and what we might encounter. And one of our teachers, one of our leaders, encountered a new family, and we're so blessed to have new families. But we encountered a new family in the very first session. A young fella, little bitty fella, said to his leader, "I don't believe in God. Dad don't believe in God, so I don't believe in God." And so our leader handled that delicately and by the Spirit, I believe, and through the course of time, over a few sessions here now on Wednesday night with kids, talking about God our Father and Jesus Christ the Son, our salvation provider. 1 week ago last Wednesday, that same little boy and his brother prayed to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. I praise God for that. I praise God for that because, you see, He is at work in the lives of people in our community. Amen? And so I like to share those kind of success stories with you because God is at work, God is faithful, God is good, and He loves us. And He wants to draw us unto Himself. Now, today's topic. If you looked in your bulletin already, you see this whole idea of God won't give you more than you can handle. You've ever heard that phrase? Who's heard that phrase? Yeah, I've heard it too. And so I just want to talk about that today a little bit. And I hope in a way to encourage you. Many years ago, when I was still at the plant, and I had a coworker, a peer. He was in purchasing. I was in production, and my coworker, my peer, got cancer, and he got it pretty seriously. And we didn't know it at the time, but the cancer would get him. It would take his life. And one time, I wasn't a pastor, I was a production manager and farmer, but yet I cared for this man very deeply, and he was a good friend of mine. And so one day during Thanksgiving service, or Thanksgiving break from school, I took my son, because I knew my buddy was in the Mayo Hospital, and I took my son, who was just a little boy at that time, and we went all the way to Rochester to see him. And just be with him for the day. No one else was there with him. And so here he was, Thanksgiving, nobody there. And I just read some scripture to him, and we laughed a little bit, we cried a little bit, and prayed for him. And, well, sometime later he got out of the Mayo Hospital, and he came back to the plant. But unfortunately, it was basically to just clean out his office. They had told him at Mayo, "Nothing we can do for you." But when he was there that day, he called me over, and he wanted to visit with me, and so I wasn't his boss, we were peers. And so we went into the conference room, and he began to cry. He was a big man, but cancer had beat him down at this point, and he was getting to be a smaller man every day, and he knew that Mayo had told him, "You're not going to make it," bottom line. And he said to me in the conference room that day through tears, "God doesn't give us more than we can handle, does he, Jim? Now, I knew my friend had been in church. Matter of fact, at one point in time, he was a leader in church in his congregation. And while I sat there, and I look back over the 20-plus years that that was, I'm not exactly sure what I said. Quite frankly, I didn't know what to say. Because I wrestled with that idea of, does God give the infirmity? As my buddy had said, God doesn't give us more than we can handle, does he, Jim? And so I wrestled with, does God give the infirmity, or does God give the ability to walk into and through the infirmity? And so I wrestled with that, and I don't know what I said. I didn't know what to say, and I don't know what I said. I believe that was one of the first times that I remember that phrase used, and I have heard it hundreds of times since. While the phrase itself is not biblical, we may throw it out there as biblical. It can align with some scripture, and I'm going to show us that in just a minute. And I want to say this right up front. While the statement is noble in some applications, verbatim, it is not biblical. And you say, and before you get heartburn about that, you say, yeah, but preacher, I've used it a lot of times and I know it's in the scripture. Not verbatim, it's not in the scriptures. And so let me just say this. While the statement is noble, it's borderline, whether it's biblical or you can attach some scripture to it. I want us to think this morning, is the statement helpful if I'm passing it on to somebody else? Let me throw this out to you also. This statement, God doesn't give us more than you can handle. The bottom line is, and I know some of your stories, and I know some of the stories of the folks that were here in the first service, the bottom line is sometimes he's going to give you or allow you more than you can handle. You know what I'm saying? Yes, that's what I thought. That's what I'm talking about. Why? In some cases, to draw us to a dependence on him that is real. Maybe for the first time ever. I'm just reminded of Dennis's testimony. Dennis showed us he told us his testimony a while ago. And he could testify. Sometimes God gives you more than you seemingly can handle to draw you close. To draw you to a dependence on him that's real. Maybe for the first time in your life. Maybe to a new dependence on him that is like you've never had before. I've read articles lately because I wanted people's opinions. I know it's not biblical verbatim, but I read articles this past week from different pastors. One pastor will say, yes, it's biblical, and I'll show you the text. And another article will say, from a pastor, no, it's not biblical. And so I wanted to research and understand this whole idea just a little bit more for myself. Before we go there to Scripture, let me give you another example. When Sherry and I were first married, we were living at Hinckley, managing a dairy farm. And before the 4 years were over there, Sherry and I, as young as we were and new in our Christian faith as we were, they ushered us into the leadership position of the youth group. We weren't any older than they were. We gained some very close friends in that youth group, and they are still our friends today. Very close friends. And one young man who married a young lady who wasn't happened to be in the youth group at the time, but he's a dairy farmer. They're very successful farmers and doing very well and love the Lord. They adopted a couple of Chinese children. The little boy has some very serious autistic issues. Life can be a struggle on a daily basis. One challenge after another. And sometimes life can seem unbearable. Now, sometimes some people, well-meaning folks, will come along to our friends that have this child, or perhaps in your situation, and say to them, they have said to them lately, well, God doesn't give you more than you can handle. As if that's supposed to be comforting. And I'm here to tell us a couple things this morning. Number one, the statement itself is not completely biblical, and the statement itself may not be helpful. My good friends, who are the ones raising the autistic boy, would say, each time I hear this, it makes me want to turn to the nearest wall and bang my head on it. If we're not living in their shoes, we don't understand, and flippantly throwing out a statement like that is not helpful. Well, God doesn't give you more than you can handle. And I'm not here to condemn anyone, even though you may like the phrase, you may use it all the time, but I am here to reiterate, it may not be helpful for those going through the trial. And I'm also here to reiterate, we need to understand more completely what does Scripture say before we go telling people their troubles are somehow the will of God and you're just going to have to put up with it. You remember the story of Job, right? No, you don't? Do I have to go over that too? That's going to take a while if I got to go over all that. In Job's struggles in life, I'm sure if we ask him, they would seem unbearable. He lost all 10 kids in one day, for heaven's sakes. He lost all of his possessions. Then he lost his health. And I'm sure there was a point in Job's life when it seemed unbearable. And his friends come along, you remember them, Eliphaz and Bildad and the boys. And they come along, these were his friends, they come along to encourage him in his trouble and in his trial and in his tribulation, and they simply made the matters worse. And Job concludes some chapters into the book, he concludes they are nothing, and this is a quote, but miserable comforters. They didn't know how to come and comfort the way he needed comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, a few verses there. Let me get after this before the time is gone. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm starting with 8 and 9, then I'm going to jump backward to verses 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9. My Bible calls this delivered from suffering. It's the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and he says this. He says this to the church at Corinth. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, in other words, unaware of our trouble which came to us in Asia. Now listen how he describes the trouble, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength. In other words, we didn't have any strength to go on. So that, he said, we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. You see, friends, there comes a point in our lives, whether it's Christian persecution, or whether it's health, or whether it's marital, or whether it's financial, or whether it's a dozen or two dozen other things, There may come a point in our lives when we feel exactly like Paul and we say, I am burdened beyond measure here, O God. It is beyond my strength to endure, and so that I am despairing even of life. It may happen. if it hasn't happened already. And for me to come alongside you, or the Apostle Paul, when you are despairing even of life, and suggest to you that God won't give you more than it can handle, is probably not helpful. Now hear me when I say to us this whole idea about suffering. In no way, shape, or form does the Bible, does the Scripture say that Christians are exempt. Okay, you still with me? In no way, shape, or form does the Bible suggest put your faith in Christ and everything is going to be perfectly gloomy, or perfectly good, I mean. Perfectly gloomy, that's an oxymoron. Nowhere does it say in the Scriptures everything is going to be just right. As a matter of fact, Jesus said to his disciples, you had better count the cost before you decide to follow me, because there's going to be a cost. And so nowhere does the Scripture say we are exempt because we are Christ followers. I want us to be clear about that. Because there may be times when God uses difficulties to draw us close. I have seen it. I could tell you stories for an hour. I have seen it where people were far from God and the difficulty comes. The difficulty in some cases that leads to death. And yet in the difficulty, they came to Christ. We are not exempt from suffering. Now let me go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at 3 through 5. This one is called Comfort in Suffering. And when you hear me read this, you can follow along on the big screen or in your Bible, you will see this implies there will come a time there will be suffering of some kind. Here's what we said, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. That word, by the way, in the Greek means anguish and trouble. Have you ever felt anguish, brothers and sisters? Yes, I have too. And some of the rest of you have, you're just bashful to raise your hand. Who comforts us in our anguish. He doesn't take it away, but comforts us in our anguish. Comforts us in our tribulation. Comforts us in our tribulation. Why? Well, one, because he's God and he's good. But look at the other reason in that scripture. So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, that same tribulation, anguish, or trouble, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. May I suggest that this scripture could be used to comfort others rather than statements that aren't biblical. We could use a statement like this in opportune times and simply say to somebody, may the God of all comfort, who knows what you're going through, I don't, comfort you in all your trouble like only he can. May we use statements like that rather than statements that may be not helpful. As I said before I read this, one of the things that this scripture tells me, there's going to be a time of trouble. We will have tribulations and trials. Jesus said as much. If we are following him passionately, we will have persecution. Now let me try to bring this all together. Will God be with you in trouble and tribulation? The answer is yes. Can I get a witness? You know that. He will be with you. Will he take away the trouble in trial and tribulation? Maybe not. Will he seemingly sometimes give you more than you can handle? He may. To draw you unto him, to a dependence on him that's real. None of this superficial stuff. He doesn't buy that. He wants passionate followers. He wants people that are real with him, dependent on him in the good days and the hard. He may allow suffering and trouble to draw you unto him. He loves you. So, will God be with you in trouble and tribulation? Yes, he will. Will there be times in your life and mine and others when it's seemingly absolutely unbearable? Yes, there are. Are there even trials, trouble, and persecution that lead to death? Yes, there are. In more ways than one. Persecuted Christians around the globe are dying just because they claim the name of Jesus. They're dying regularly. Radicals at the hand of their governments. People are dying regularly just because they're Christians. And sometimes, I could tell you stories, I've mentioned already, God will allow difficulty even that leads to death. From a sickness or something else, accident, tragedy, that draws people unto himself. Are there trials and troubles in lives of Christians that lead to death? Yes, there are. All you have to do is read some books like Voice of the Martyrs or Fox's Book of Martyrs or the newer version called Jesus Freaks. They're full of them. Examples of people dying for their faith in Christ. And I would simply suggest to us this morning, when we encounter that person that's struggling, they've got this burden that just seems too much to bear. I simply would suggest to us as Spirit-led, humble believers, we are careful not to flippantly throw out things like God won't give you more than you can handle, but rather some scripture like, may the God of all comfort comfort you like only he can. You see the difference? And so, I want to just say this very briefly. So someone would say to me, and like I said, I read pastors' arguments and said, yes, this is scriptural. And someone would say to me, so where does this phrase come from? I believe it comes from 1 Corinthians 10:13, which I love that verse also. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. In other words, you will not be tempted other than what other people have already endured and tempted. And then he says, this is the part I love about this verse, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. In other words, he's not going to allow you to go into a situation where he knows you will fail. But God is faithful, the Bible says here, and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I believe it is this verse, I know it is in some cases, it is this verse that people have in mind when we make the statement about God not giving us more than we can handle. It's a great verse, it's got a great promise in it, but temptation is different than trouble and trial and tribulation. And I believe what Paul is explaining here to the letter in the letter to the Corinthians is this what I said. God will provide us a way escape, a way out of the temptation that comes our way. He is faithful in taking care of us that way. And so I believe that's where the verse comes from, and that's just I mention that because it's a great verse with a great message. And it might be splitting hairs, temptation, trial, adversity, because this temptation can also mean adversity. I think Paul is speaking more in temptation here. And so let me just conclude with this, and we're going to sing our closing song. Is God good? Yes. Can God be trusted? Yes. Is he just? Yes. Will he walk with us in the most seemingly unbearable trials? Yes. Will he give us more than we can handle? Seemingly, he might. Not out of because he's a mean God, out of his passionate love for wanting people to come to him by faith in a completely surrendered way. And so I encourage us today, let us understand Scripture before encouraging folks with something that's not scriptural. I encourage us, let us understand and use the appropriate Scripture. I just want to encourage us, let us be a real encouragement to those who are going through what seems at the time, and probably is for them, unbearable. Let us come alongside and be a real encouragement, like, how can I help you, rather than, well, God won't give you more than you can handle. When we have the opportunity to comfort, let us not be like the friends of Job, but people that will comfort in humility and discernment, knowing that God is just, God is good, God will walk with us, but sometimes life is hard. That's when we've got to depend on him. Amen? Father, we really do need you. Every moment of every hour of every day. And I pray that, Lord, no matter what life dishes out to us as individuals here, as families, as this church and these communities, I pray that we will trust you. That we will not abandon you when it would be easy to say, well, if that's how you are, then I don't need you. Help us to trust you when life seems most unbearable. Help us to come to you by faith, Lord, and allow you to guide us in life, recognizing that you are the God of all comfort and you will walk with us. I pray, Heavenly Father, for those that are going through the trial and the battle today. Help them to feel your presence. Comfort them in their tribulation. Help them to know of your great love for them. Go with us this day and this week, Heavenly Father. Draw us close to you. And yes, sometimes those occasions for us drawing close to you will be painful. But help us to draw close to you and have a dependence upon you, Lord Jesus, that's real, that's eternal. I pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.